2005, Gemara Avodah Zarah, 33b, Lamed Gimel, on the days, and we're down towards the bottom right now. Okay, it's the last 6-7 lines. Okay. I want to point out, for those of you who are absent, that the discussion has been lately about the question of whether dishes, cups, and so on, do they absorb? And if they do, what is the way to kosher them if they can be koshered? Okay? So we started, for example, with nodos, the wine sacks, right? Then we talked about jars, then jugs, and then we talked about cups of wine, wine cups and so on. What do you do with them and so on? So we saw that one method, as far as cups are concerned, is to soak them for 3 days and change the water every day. It's a procedure that we do before Pesach, exactly, if we want to use them for Pesach. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's the source, you see, over here in the Gemara. And then there was the question that we had just now, further up on the page, there was a question, for example, about cups that were made of a certain type of glass, whether it was permissible or not, and there's a question of what color they used in it, because when they said that if it's green, it's no good. It's usur. Why is it usur? Because they use alum in it, and apparently that makes it much too porous. Okay? So if it's too porous, it's going to absorb too much, and therefore that, no. But if it were black colored or white colored, that would be okay, because presumably it doesn't absorb to the same extent. So go right ahead. Yeah, go right ahead. Right.
Right.
It's not that bad actually tonight, but okay, fine. All right. So now we come to, as I said, towards the end of the seventh line from the bottom. All right. Omer Rabzvid. Rabzvid said, "Hai mani de kunya chivre ve'uchma shori yeruka osir." Okay, mishum de nitzvah. This is what I just said. That those vessels are made of kunya. Now, what is kunya? So Rashi explains kunya means clay cheres. He says, this is earthenware, which is mitzupe ba'avar. It's covered over with lead, the Koran pulmit, and they call it pulmit in Old French, whatever pulmit is. It's not a word that I recognize. All right. But at any rate, here we see that it's more, than simply just a plain piece of earthenware, but actually that they use some kind of a lead paint. In order to coat it.
Glaze.
This is like pewter.
Pewter?
Pewter would be a metal, not a glass.
You say that?
It's in the metal. They're talking about metal.
Yeah.
Molten lead is a metal.
Molten lead.
Oh, he just said glass.
I said lead. Okay.
Lead, you
said? Lead.
Oh, I thought L-E-A-D. You said glass.
No. So, he says, in this particular case, he says that if it is white, chivra, or uchma, or black, then you're permitted to use it, okay? To use it if what? Obviously it means if a goy had used it before, right? But yeruka, if it is green, it is prohibited, he says. Why? Mishum de mitzvah. Because, it has been, they have used alum in the preparation of it, and that makes it soft. And then it says, "V'yisbehu kartufne kulho asirei." Now it says, we have another proviso. What if these things have a crack in them? Then in that particular case, there's no question that you cannot use it. Why? Because if it has a crack or a chip or something in it, then we know that it is absorbing, and therefore it is prohibited. Okay? All right. So far, we think we understand it. Right. Dorosh Maremor. So, Maremor, who is one of the, you know, teachers, he gave the following interpretation. Okay? He says, Kunya. Again, what do we say Kunya is? We said that Kunya is, you know, this lead-covered vessel. Okay? So he says, Kunya. He says, right. Kunya ben uchman ben chiver, whether it is black or white, he says, ben yeruko, or whether it is green, shori, it's permitted. So now we have a, you know, a contradiction to what Rav Zvid said a moment ago, right? Rav Zvid said that green is prohibited, and along comes Maremo and he says that even green is permissible, right? So what happened? So now they say, Maishdo Mechomes, why is his ruling different than in the case of Chomets per Pesach, right? The boy Mine, because they asked from Memreimo, from Remo, it says, Ani Mone de Kunya, Maldishtamusha Behu be Pischoy. So, can we use this type of lead covered, you know, Caleb, right, on Pesach? So, what was his answer? He says, Yeruka, if it is green, lo teboy lecho te mitzarfe. So this, you don't even have to inquire. You know that what? That it has been used. No. That it has been used with alum, right?
Oh, with alum, yeah.
Or vole. And therefore it absorbs the asire, and therefore it is prohibited to use it. Right. Ki teboy lecho chivre lech mai. But the question is, if these kalim are either white or black, then what? Ki isbu kartufne, so it says, if they have cracks in it, lo tibu elecho devali boli basira. They don't even have to ask any questions that they have absorbed, right? And they are therefore prohibited. Ki bu elecho, the question is only, deshiye bai. If they happen to be nice and smooth, then what? So this is the question they're answering, you know, that they answered in the Rema.
But a moment ago,
Absolutely right. On Pesach, he says no, right?
Also, the same one who said green was okay.
Right.
In contradiction to the other one who said green was never okay.
No, actually, the point is that they're asking Maremo, you know, what's your opinion?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, Rav Zvid said, you know, that the Yeruka is no good, right? And they quote Rav Bremer as saying that it's okay, green is also all right. So they say, so how about the fact that when they asked you for Pesach, you understand? And you said at that particular point that, you know, green definitely is no good,
black
right?
And white.
But black and white maybe is permissible, right?
Provided it's smooth inside.
Right. Provided it's smooth, right, because we say if it has cracks or chip or something, then it's no good, right? So Amar Hu, so what did he say? He says, we need the next page. This is the next page.
Did they both have the lead over them, though?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Did they both have the lead?
Yes. Right, but the question is, in order to get the green color, so then they have to use this alum as one of the elements. So What did he say to them? Next page. Lamedala dom lalof. He says, Ana chazina luhu, says, you know, I looked at them, and you know what I saw? I saw that they were sweating. As Rashi says, sweating on the outside because of the fact that they had absorbed on the inside. Whatever it was, right, they were sweating. But gave them the Isa, Vadai Boli. And therefore, if I see that they're sweating, then obviously they must have absorbed false hearings, and they are prohibited, right? Okay, God's fine.
No.
So, now they say, my Tama, HaTorah he'idu al klei cheres she'idu yetzim in dey dofno de yedof. Okay. Says, in the case of these kelim, it says, we have a teaching in the Torah, which says that earthenware, right? Yeah. Literally, they never go out of their outside, right? They're out of their wall, ever. But what it really means is that earthenware will always absorb, right? And therefore, the Torah itself says that using these kelim, then you shover, it has to be broken. Okay? We find it, for example, in various places. First of all, yeah, in other words, you break it and you can't use it anymore.
Destroy it.
Right, destroy it, exactly. That's what it means. Right. The Chi Tamar, and if your argument is as follows, that Chometz I skipped a couple of words over here. Right. So he says, Maishno Miyayin Nesach. So tell me, why the difference when it came to Yayin Nesach and the cup, right? The Dorosh Luhu Merema Kuhomani the Kunya Shorei, where Merema said that any of these vessels, okay, which you know, do have this lead finish to them, right?
Yeah.
It is permissible to do what? I mean, it's not going to absorb, including, what did he say on the bottom of the previous page? Including the green ones, according to Marema, right?
Marema, yeah.
Right. So according to him, it's permitted, right? The Chitem or Chometz, right? So maybe you want to tell me that Chometz, the prohibition against Chometz, this is written in the Torah, right? Whereas Yayin Nesach, the Rabbanan, this he says is the rabbis interpreted the use of wine by a goy as being Yayin Nesach, okay?
Yeah, but it's kosher wine.
And I'm not talking about kosher wine. We're talking about the fact that the rabbis came and they issued a prohibition against Yayin Nesach. Okay.
I'm still saying, what is Yayin Nesach?
Yayin Nesach is wine that would be used as a libation by the goyim to their idols.
So it's not Jewish wine then?
It's not Jewish wine.
Okay, that's the only answer.
So maybe that's the argument. In other words, should we be more lenient in this particular case of Yayin Nesach?
Why?
Maybe that's the reason behind it. He says, no, that's not the reason behind it. Because even if it's something that the rabbis ordained, right? Because called the tikkun rabbonon, came the rice of tikkun, that whatever enactments were made by the rabbis, they did it in the spirit of the Torah, and therefore it has the force of being a Torah law. Okay? So, in that particular case, we have to look and see, then why did he permit it in the case of wine, right, and prohibit it in the case of chometz?
He says,
those things that are used all year round for hot things, you know, to cook in and stuff like that, or to serve hot food and so on, so therefore, when it comes to Pesach, you can't use it. Because in the final analysis, it's earthenware, even if it's covered over with a glaze, okay? You can't use it. course, it's used with hot food. Okay. Whereas, v'zeh tashmisha b'tzeinin, whereas the cup of wine, the wine cup, right? The wine cup is used only with something that's cold. I mean, who drinks hot wine? Drink cold wine. Okay.
Japanese.
Japanese. Okay, so in that case I wouldn't use it. That requires a different thing.
Well, what's the difference between having hot beer and cold
beer? Why does what make it?
Well, he's talking about ferments and pastes.
Yes.
Why? Is the hot, okay. Why would that mean? What is the reason for saying that there's a difference between hot and cold?
Because hot, presumably, it absorbs more. We have to assume that is the basic reason behind it. At any rate, we know. I mean,
which is why we know that we can't kosher dishes.
Right,
example,
you do not kosher earthenware dishes, no question,
that.
Right.
But you can't kosher glasses.
Glass can be koshered. Things that are made of metal can be koshered. I mean, these are things that can do. Certain things that cannot be koshered. I mean, for example,
those rules.
Pardon me?
This is the source for the.
Yes, yes. Here we have the source for all these rules concerning, you know, koshering. And there'll be more later on in Gomorrah and Levitt, so are too. Yeah.
What about if dishes have not been used over a long period of time? What is the deal on that?
Okay, even that hopefully we'll touch upon. Okay, I hope. I hope. Okay. All right. Rabbi Akiva, Ikra le Ginza. Rabbi Akiva came to a place called Ginza. Okay. Don't ask me where it is, but someplace. Okay. So they asked them kashas. Okay. First kasha was misanin the choice or ain misanin the choice. Is it permissible to fast only for a certain amount of hours instead of a complete fast or not? I'll have to explain this a little bit later, okay? But at any rate, first let's read this, Meiser. Well, I would be your then. So, literally, it was in his hand. In other words, he didn't know what to answer, okay? Then they ask him another one. Kan kanem shaloi dekri kodim, all right? The jugs they're going. Right, that they use for wine. Asurin or motorin? Are they prohibited? Or are they permissible? Well, how will be your day? Didn't know what to answer. Then I asked for the other kasha. Says, Baneh shimish meisha kol shiva simeha miluyi. Tell me, what kind of garments did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the 7 days when he officiated over the induction of the Kahanim into the priesthood? I mean, this we read, you know, in the Torah in Parsha. Tzav, how the Kohanim were inducted in it, that they had to observe Shiva Simei Miluyim, 7 days of literally fulfillment, inauguration is probably a better way to translate under the circumstance. And during that time, Moshe Rabbeinu acted as a high priest, because it was only on the eighth day, by Yom HaShmini, you know, that at that particular time, then Aaron and his sons, you know, they became officially Kohanim. Okay? So,
Right.
So we wanted to know, what did he wear at that particular point? What special garment did he wear? Okay? Was he dressed like the Kohen Gadol, since he was assuming the functions that a Kohen Gadol would be, or not? So again, what is the answer? Well, how would be other? Didn't know what to answer them.
Rabbi Akiva,
great man, but he himself at times. See, you can't be perfect. You can't know everything.
Why not?
Why not? Because as great a man as he was, but he was stopped by these questions. So at any rate, Yeah, it's sort of good stuff. That's good. So, yeah. So also, he went and showed baby Trosha. So he went to the base medrash, you know, to the yeshiva, in other words, and he asked the questions of the chachamim who were sitting over there. So Amri, so they answered him as follows. Yilchusa, halacha is that hakim is anim lishois, right? That it is permissible to fast for a certain number of hours. The imhishlim is followed to the silence. And if he has completed it, then he can recite the special prayer for a fast day.
You don't
I have to tell you, however, that, pardon me?
You don't say how many hours.
No. It's not only that. It's more complicated. I mean, to us it would seem, if I would read it literally, that it means, let's say, I'm going to fast until, let's say, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, or something like that, right? And then I break the fast. It's not considered as if I had fasted all day. You understand? This is what we would take it as. I mean, right? However, I have to tell you that they take it in a different way. They take it as follows. He started out without the intention of fasting, but he didn't have a chance to eat all morning. And then, since he didn't eat all morning, he said, well, wait a minute, I may as well go already the rest of the day and make it an official private fast for me. Okay? Of course, you're allowed to also have a private fast for yourself only. Okay? Even if it's not a congregational fast. Okay? So the question is, under those circumstances, would it count as an official fast for him? And the answer is yes.
What, even though the intention was...
That's why we say it. I mean, only in the evening.
And therefore, that's exactly the reason why, according to this Hashkenaz, Aneinu is said only to Mincha. Because we figure by then, you know, we know that we have fasted.
All day.
Whereas if you don't fast the entire day, technically you should not say Aneinu to Mincha.
Is this covered in Tanis too?
What?
Is it
yeah, of course. It's in Tanis, it's the original place for this. Okay?
So
but
this person can't conditionally, let's say, fast half a day?
The answer is, again, you can make for yourself, but it would not count really as being a, you know, as if you had completed the fast. Look, I mean, we understand, I mean, that at times you're forced to. I mean, what if you're on medication that you're required to take it, you see? Then in that case, you would be excused. You know, so you fast to the best of your ability as long as you possibly can. If you can make it till at least the beginning of Mincha time, by that I mean, you know, let's say 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, okay. So at least you have, at that moment, you would fast it, even though you know that you're going to break the fast afterwards. But if, on the other hand, you know, you have the ability to fast the entire day, it won't make you sick or anything like that, then in that particular case, so you should fast.
So basically, rabbis were empowered by Ribbono Shel Olam in case if the person consumes less than the share in a certain period of time, let's say like on Yom Kippur,
right?
Then still by the raising up in the heaven would be considered as if the person fasted.
Right, I mean the intention would be certainly considered, right? You know, it would mean, let's say, a very minimal amount of water or something like that.
Doctor, in this situation, is it someone, this is all, you know, it really pertains to a private fast, is it someone who, as you say, sort of comes into this fast by inadvertence,
right,
just doesn't eat it,
right,
and decides,
right,
you know what, I'm going to transform this into a fast?
Yeah.
Or could it also be someone who says, early in the morning, I'm going to fast, but I only want to fast half a day, 4 hours?
Well,
would it be in that circumstance to also?
See, Rashi takes it in the first case, as I said.
In the first case.
Right. You take a look at the show. It says, Kagoy Shakiba and the law of Tadis, Bishay Shoes Babala. He first decided at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, right, that he's going to fast the remainder of the day. Well, Mihu, nevertheless, Lo Toam Klum, Mitchila Kol Hayom. Which means that from the beginning of the day he had not eaten anything anyway, hadn't had anything in his mouth. But originally his intention was not to fast the entire day, but now he decided, look, I've gone this long, so I think I'll fast the rest of the day, something like that. Okay? All right. So, that's the answer to the first one that they said. And they said that if he completes his fast, then in that case, when he davens mincha, he adds Aneinu Arishem Aneinu. Okay?
Right.
Okay. And the Hilchasa, and the next halacha, is that Kankanim Shaloide Kechovim, the Acha Yudbez Chodesh Mutorin. Okay. The jugs that had been used by idolaters after 12 months, they are permitted. In other words, if they had not been used for 12 months, then in that case it would be permitted to use them afterwards. So this is the basis wherein, you know, we say, right, right. You know, let's say you don't remember whether these dishes that have been lying around for God knows how long.
But you have to touch it.
Right.
According to this, it says you still have to, you have to table them three times in three days.
Well, that's because of the kankanim, you know. Right. But nevertheless, the point
is... You didn't use it for a year.
Right.
But that's glass. You don't do that to...
No.
In this particular case, the jugs are not made of glass. With glass, there wouldn't be a question.
You would have to do it.
Yeah, right.
But what about... Right. We're talking now, and now I'm asking about...
But even
a
set of dishes that hasn't been used for a long time.
Oh, dear.
If we consider that, you know, these dishes are important, you know, it's not the kind of thing that you throw into the wastebasket. You know, because it's a beautiful set of china or something like that you inherited or something like that. Then in that case, we say that after 12 months, you know, you wash them, etc., and you can use them again.
Actually,
so you decide what to make it.
It's a practical question.
Right.
We took nice china that we bought and used a couple of times for our wedding in Russia. So we brought it over here, then we realized we can't even dip it in the mikvah,
right? Right.
So it was sitting for 10 years. So technically we can use it without dipping the mikvah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you have to say...
That's the reason why I can't dip it.
Yeah, okay.
Right. That's even better.
But they do say... Right.
Why do you have to wait 10 years?
No, we didn't know the status.
Well, you didn't know the status. So here's another question.
Yeah.
The fleishik dishes, they were hummets and fleishik. And I do remember, that this was a set of fleishik dishes. So, but they haven't been used in 10 years. Now, you wash them and use them for what? How can they be used?
Technically, I'm sure that you could use it either for milk or gopher flavor.
You can do it for pesa?
Or for pesa.
No, it's so.
However, I recommend ask the rabbi of the shul.
Yeah, I understand. No, it's an interesting question because this comes up. It does come up.
Yeah, right. Of course it comes up.
I have stacks of dishes
that
I haven't
see
used.
Over here.
I haven't used in 20.
Would not have given.
In one line over here, we deal with a situation.
Yeah.
That is very
very practical.
But this one applies, this particular rule will apply because in your case, there's no question, this applies where idolatrous has used the dishes. In your case, you don't even have to worry about it. It's just a question of when's the last time you used the dishes, right? There's no Christian.
But you're applying the principle.
Right, the principle is.
I can understand why Rabbi
has not been used for 12 months.
Yeah.
Right, so presumably, whatever had been absorbed.
Well,
why
am
I not
what
but it's interesting that all of these rules come out of the portions of the Talmud.
Final question that they asked him, right? She was from Hermanuya, right?
Yeah,
you asked, so what kind of a uniform did he wear, right? Obviously, he would not be wearing the garments of the
couldn't go at all because they couldn't go. So even though the official had gone, so they answered. The Kolukhlovam, he had a very special white garment that he wore at that time. Special for the occasion. Okay? Rashi says, he could not use the garments for the Kohen. Because the Torah says, that you shall make holy garments for your brother Aaron. And he was a non-Kohen in comparison to them. The Alpiyah Dibur, so according to God's command unto him, so Shimesh he'd serve, although Huska Ruba got him, and they do not mention that. So therefore the rabbi said he must have had a very special one that he used. Okay? And not only that, they say Rav Kana must say Kana shows that what the Cholakalovan pocket was a white garment, Sheindo Imra, which did not have any hem at the bottom. Why not? So, Rashi again. Imra. See Imra over there. Hem in this case, what it means.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so Yeshua Imra. There are those who say Shaloh Yaktiduhu Shesham or Shesambo Metumas Hamishka. All right, that they should not suspect that he helped himself to some of the contributions that were made to the building of the Mishkan, and he simply kept them in the hem of the garment.
Oh,
so therefore, he had no hem.
Okay.
But then says Rashi, a lot of Nilsen, but. I don't like this idea.
Well, Rashi rejected that
argument. Right. Yeah. I say, I'm reading to Rashi. Sharek for Nigma Ram Lochot. Because the work of the Mishkan already been finished. Vishasa Veda Mehechon Shokel. And finally, sufficient where it's going to pay. So that would not be
couldn't
the
it be because
reason.
Of the difference? Aaron had the pomegranates and the bells.
That's the
Kohen
Gadol.
What does the Tosfos say about it? They
refer
to
Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Shema Yima." It says, "Kamo al Hagas v'al Yima." So, all right. So, first of all, now we know that the word Yima refers to a hem over here. The Umin Habeged, right? It's part of the Beged. But from Nim, there are times she ain't no Min Habeged. But at times, the hem is not really an integral part of the garment itself. Kimo imro shalar gomon denigoy. As for example, the people who had suffering from leprosy, so they would attach a separate hem, a scarlet red hem, in order to warn people. And therefore, there was no hem there. The fish of the zeh or yoniko yoser kodosh, because without a hem, it would be more easily recognized that this was a brand new garment. The beinam shalom nishtamish boyhedim. Of course, we require that somebody else is not permitted to make use of this garment. Well, the picha hasur mishun and mishal chavukim. And for that reason, they made it different from all other garments. All other garments, right, have hems, but they made it different in order to show that this could not be worn by anybody else except Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, good.
And he continues, says, Rav Moshe, who was a man who was one of the Chachamim in the Bavli Tosfos, says, Peirush, he gave the following explanation. Should a Yomer Achor Kerach that they shouldn't say afterwards, Shimeish Aaron, the reason why Aaron became the Kohen and officiated, Sheninsa Mum the Moshe, because there was a blemish in Moshe's character, in order to prevent people from saying that. Well, Achach, and for that reason, Asur, the Yomer, they made it without a hem. Sheyedu HaKol, everybody should know, Shelo HaYodova Niskayim, Masho HaYimashavish, that this, the fact that he was at this moment officiating during these 7 days, is not a permanent thing. Okay?
Right. That makes sense.
And then they give another explanation.
That sounds good. You know that it's not a, right. He didn't even bother to complete the garment.
Right, exactly. And then there's another one that they say over there that, the Yesh Omrim, there is also Yesh Beforshim, that Imra, it says, it's like a bow, Imra with an iron, which means a fleece, woolen fleece. So it was made without woolen fleece. You understand? Why? The Tisha Big Day Kahuna Oyu Kilayim says priestly garments had kilayim in them. They were a mixture of linen and wool. Alright? So Komar, so therefore they wanted to proclaim Shazer Loha Yokilayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not wear
a mixture
of
the
linen.
The priestly garments did have a mixture?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
The avnet, the belt that they wore, the girdle around, like a belt. So that was
it.
Yeah.
Really?
Why?
Special was put special. So it should look beautiful. Okay.
Yeah. But
it wore a second.
It only
right.
says in
right.
certain
right.
places it's like Big Day Bond, so garments of linen.
Okay. Right.
That's the. I understand.
Bond is splitted, you're right. In other words, essentially the tunic and so on, you mean, that was made of linen. But the avnate was a mix that had all kinds of threads in it. The belt that they wore, okay, or the girdle, whatever you want to call it. That was, you know, a mixture of various elements. So
that's with the threads that connected to the ocean, where they went from the apron to the ocean, or the ligaments, right? No,
well, we're talking first of all about you know, the ordinary priest wore kasonis bad, avdeit bad, so forth, okay, as part of their uniform.
Okay.
And you know, they had to wear some sort of a turban on their head, right, bas, and then of course also the kohen had to wear trousers, which which are also made of linen. Okay.
Now, how
but
about
the belt things? Itself that they wore around, you know, so that was a mixture.
We have to assume
wool and linen, and the case of the Kohen Gadol also had gold threads in his.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do we assume that Moshe also wore trousers? Doesn't say.
Yeah. I would think that the answer is no, but.
But if he's going to ascend the altar,
well,
ascend.
We don't know that he ascended at the altar.
Uh-huh.
But if he did, then we'd have
then
to wear it. Right.
Right. Priest
did, I think, because. Right. Of course, the altar was elevated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You had to go up on a ramp in order to get to it.
Yeah.
Okay, we shall stop at this point.
Okay.
Oh. Thank you.
Tonight is the 27th of July in the year 2005. We are continuing now in Avodah Zorah, Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, in other words, 34b, beginning with the first long line, or the quotation one line above it. Okay.
Amud
Dalet. Amud Dalet. What do I say?
Beis.
Chas v'shalom. Yeah, okay. My apologies. Okay.
Okay.
Must be because I corrected the rabbi.
You didn't correct him, you only amended him.
Right. Okay. The Mishnah said, Chatzanim, Hazagim, Shalbim, Lekechotim. Okay. You asked me about wine, right? And we see that as far as the sages are concerned, not just the wine bothers them, but even the very grapes themselves, if they were used for what? For the desire. That's the whole thing, okay? So what they're saying is that the chatzanim and the zagim, those are the the pits that you have inside the grapes, right? And the zagama, the skins, you know.
Outer shell.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara now discusses that business. It says, Tana Rabbanan, sages taught us, Achatzonin v'hazagim shalom v'kachovim, says, we have to differentiate, they say, that in the case of the pits and the skins of, you know, of grapes that had been used, of course, for what? The answer is had been used for wine, you understand, okay? We're not talking about a grape that you'd use just for eating. That doesn't answer the problem. I mean, that's not a problem.
This is what's left over when they...
Squeeze it in order to make wine out of it, okay? So, and it belonged to the idolaters, where presumably, in other words, they had used it for wine libation. So, what about these pits and skins? Okay? So it says, Lachin Asurim, if they are moist, they are prohibited to Jews to use, okay? Yevashim, but if they are dry, then in that case, mutarim, they are permitted, okay?
Like raisins.
Yeah.
What would they do
but, well,
skins and pits? What use would there be for them?
Apparently, it's possible to reuse it and make some wine out of it if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Right. So, when Ann and I got married, we were going to a faraway place called Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
Right. And to us, it was far, far away. I don't have to tell you. You live in New York, your life. You don't know what it's like, you know, outside the immediate area. Okay.
All right. To the end of the world.
So. Anne's mother told us that in order to make wine for Shabbos, what we should do is to buy raisins and cook them, and that would be your yotzer, you know, for wine for kiddush. Frankly, it wasn't bad, I have to tell you.
Really?
Right, right. But later on, I discovered that, you know, there's a liquor store where you can buy wine.
You let it cool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, not hot. But you cook them. And then, you know, you put them in a jar or something or other. And you could use it, okay?
Yeah. You don't push the wine before?
It wasn't at that time. Finally, I discovered it at a store where they had the Bismarck Dovet or something like that. Not by choice for wine, but...
If you're short wine?
Huh?
If you're short wine for Shabbos, you have raisins?
You cook the raisins
If you cook
water,
the raisins beforehand...
Yeah.
Before Shabbos,
yeah.
You could use it as a wine.
Water.
Right.
You cook raisins in water, I assume.
Yeah, correct, of course.
So
talking about that.
That for
right.
Raisins anyway. They like
right.
Yeah.
Wow. And the raisins just dissolve right. into sort of,
yeah.
kind of a raisin
oh,
water.
I'll give you another idea about Niagara Falls, okay? And went down to the local grocery, you know, those days, there was no supermarkets. He went to the local grocery store, right? So she asked them for sour cream. So they said, oh, we don't let our cream get sour.
They know now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, but he's talking about the same time when that we went...
Right. We got married right at the beginning of 1944 during the war.
Yeah,
so I don't have to tell you. I mean, things were not normal.
It's a Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And near Scranton, and we asked for egg cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
They couldn't serve it to us because they had no egg and they had no cream.
Right.
Which, of course, was not a fear in the egg.
Right.
You know, it's funny because I saw in the Jerusalem Post they had a picture of two of the Babichers lighting a menorah. Over, you know, the top of the waterfall in Niagara.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking that your story and what is today is very different.
Right. Okay. So, obviously there is a use for it. But, if it had been used, you know, by the idolaters, in order to create wine for his libations. So if they were still moist, then in that particular case they are prohibited for use. But if they are dry, then they are permitted now. Okay? And, yeah. So this is the explanation over here. That's what we're going to find. But still, we're not 100% sure what about this definition. So the Gemara then continues and it gives a further explanation. It says, Hainin hu lachin, hainin hu yevashin. What do we mean by moist? Mm-hmm. And what do we mean by dry? So Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, so Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, says, Lachin kol yudbeis chodesh. Says, what do we mean by moist? We mean that for 12 months after, you know, they were used, they are still considered moist. Okay? But yevashin, acha yudbeis chodesh, after 12 months, then they are considered dry and they would be permissible for use. Okay? Itmar learned something else also in that connection. Omar Rabbi Barab Chonon, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, says, Kishahein Asurin, when we say that these are prohibited, it's Asur and Afil Bahanor, then you can't even derive any benefit from it. Remember, we've been talking about benefit all this time. In other words, you can't sell it or something like that, you know, and or even, let's say, feed it to your animals or something like that. Because you're making use, you're getting some benefit out of it. So, this you're not allowed to get any benefit out of it. Mutorin, however, when we say that they are permissible, then it's mutorin afilu ba'achila. They are permissible, not just ba'hanoim, in other words, let's say, to sell or anything like that, but you can actually eat them. So, I guess apparently, there were people who used to eat, the pits or the or the skins. Certainly, the skins. I can imagine that they might want to. I don't know. With me, I know that the skin would get stuck in my teeth.
Well, I told you what they do. In Italy, they make wrap out of it.
Yeah, right.
The very fine with like brandy.
Right. Well, this is why I say. I mean. They could be reused. I mean, the first 12 months, as long as you know that they're still moist. And that's why they are prohibited to derive any benefit, because it could be used. You see, and since it's connected with Avodah Zarah, we don't want any connection with Avodah Zarah. Okay. Amar Rav Zvid said as follows: "says Hi do daya the chamra daramaya basat reisa yachi shato shari." Says. The dudaya. Dudaya means the sediment, really, of wine. Okay? So it says that sediment of wine that the Arameans make, it says, after 12 months, a year, in other words, then it is permissible. Okay? To do what? Of course, I mean, to have, hano or something like that, use it or something. Omer Rav Chaviva, parade of Rava, Rav Chaviva, the son of Rava said, Hani gulfi basat chesa yachi shato shoy, he says. Yeah, and the same thing he says, those jugs, after 12 months, a year, they are permissible. Of course, we learned also, apparently what he means over here is that after 12 months, it's enough just to rinse them. But it's enough just to rinse them. But remember, we learned previously that if it was used only for liquids and served cold, then what? And in that particular case, we learned that you could, soak them for 3 days, changing the water every 24 hours, and they would be permissible. Omer Rav Chaviva, Rav Chaviva said as follows, he says, Hane, those, now we need the next page. On the Dalit, on the days. See, we're getting there. Okay. You're welcome. He says, Hane after the Taya. Bosa Tresa Yachi Shato Shoi.
another thing, that after 12 months is permissible to use. What are they? So the after, Rashi tells us, it says, this is chemes me'or od. This is a skin pitcher made of very thick leather. Okay? The Kohenim son Butan, he says, they call them also Butan. Never heard of that. But, okay. At any rate, this is a thick leather skin. Okay?
Using the same skin
as
the sediments or whatever of the grapes.
Right. Okay.
Instead of like the glass, so it's so soaked.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So he says that these belong to the Taya. Taya are already, we had that word previously, a couple of weeks ago. It means literally wanderers, but usually it's used in reference to the Bedouins, the Arabs, okay? Because, as you know, the Arabs move around from one place to another, okay? Right. Yeah, I know what Art School says, but we've had it before in connection with Arabs, okay? All right. Take it whichever way you want. The idea is, yeah. Because what Rashi says, holchid rochid, says, you know, people who go on a trip, nosa nosa mole yayin lemerchok, right? So they can carry wine, they can carry, you know, a full skin full of wine for a distance, right? The heavy kemachnis of the kiyum. And it becomes as if he's keeping it there for storage. The mishum hochi boy shahir yud beis chodesh. And because you keep it for storage, that's why it requires 12 months before it can become permissible. You understand? Why? What did we learn before? We learned a couple of weeks ago that there's a difference between whether the skin was used either just for one moment, in which case it would be enough to just rinse it out, okay, as compared to if you kept things there for storage, you kept it over a period of time, in which case, then what he's saying is that you'd have to wait 12 months before you could use it, since it belonged to the tire. Now again, who are these tire? Rashi only says travelers, but as I said before, we've had the word tayyib used in the sense of Arabs because of the fact, you know, the nature of the Bedouin. What do? They go wandering around from one place to another.
So they keep pits and skins in Eftah, the sort of like leather. What do they have in this Eftah? They have like pits and skins.
Okay.
What is it exactly?
All right, let's take a look at the Tosfos. Tosfos goes into it in greater extent. Okay. Very first Tosfos on the top of the page. It says, first of all, he says, instead of after, he says achta.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Kach gerez be'oruch b'chaf. All right. The oruch, which is, I told you, that was the first dictionary of the Talmud. That was published back around the 9th century, approximately. Okay? So, he says he spelled it with a chaf and not with a base. All right. Ufeirush, and the explanation they gave is Shemavian Kemach Basovim, who was sonim, that they take flour, herbs or grass, and spices, Shoranosim Becholov, right? And then they mix it with milk, Mizalfin Yayin Olov, and then they pour wine on top of it, okay? So, that's one explanation. And then he says, the Rabbeinu Hananel Goras after. He says, the Rabbeinu Hananel, he says that it should be with a base and not with a chof, because he connects it Loshen Avatiach. What is Avatiach? A melon, as we learned. Right, the watermelon.
Oh.
Or Perush, he says,
the las halula. It's like a gourd which is hollowed out. Okay? Umisimin bo yayin. And they put wine into it. Okay? The Eino Nira, however, Taisus is not happy with that.